Take a seat as the Jay brings us the Word of God.
Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 to 25. It can be found on page 2 of your pew Bibles. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs, and closed up its place with the flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed."
In the traditional Anglican approach to sermons and the Word of God, if you have a communion service on a Sunday morning, there's a set of readings, a psalm, an Old Testament, New Testament, and a gospel reading. And over 3 years, you read through all the gospels, and all the readings are chosen to fit the gospel. So really, if you have communion every Sunday and you're preaching at that, you'll preach your way through all the gospels after 3 years. And then you go to another church and you can start all over again. But the problem with that approach, and I grew up with that, is that you need to know more than the Gospels, more than those four books. You need to know the whole Bible. People need to understand the Bible. And we actually usually follow expository sermon series. So most of our time, we're working our way through books of the Bible. And probably over the last 15 or so years that Debbie and I have been here, we've done maybe 90% of the sermons have been expository series. And the reason why we do that, work through a Bible book, is that it builds biblical literacy, it helps people build a whole worldview, it trains us to understand how to read the Bible, how to apply it to our lives, it builds a more robust and a bigger kind of strength into people's lives. It's very important to do that. But there are some kinds of messages and some themes, some topics that can't really easily be addressed that way, and not all topics that we need to reflect on together will arise out of an expository series in a natural way. So we're doing this series, not an expository series, not working through one book on freedom, and we've been taking different passages. And sometimes the sermons have really worked through the passage in some detail, but other times the passage has more been a pointer to the theme that's being explored in the message. And we're really in that sort of mode today. We're looking at spiritual freedom on this journey, learning how to apply the gospel of Jesus to our souls and how to specifically apply it to our own issues and to claim the freedom and to walk in the freedom that's our birthright in Jesus Christ. Sometimes in Christian ministry and in life in general, you can come across an idea or a practice which really causes you to wonder, like, what is that? And is that biblical? And it's sometimes important to ask, where does that come from? What does that really mean? Is that true? Is this something that's from God, or is it a human creation that might be in some way in conflict with what God would have us believe? And it's quite a tricky thing sometimes if you're ministering in the area of the spiritual dynamics of inner healing and freedom and deliverance. There can be ideas and terms which people use which are not exactly quoted from the Bible. They're not sort of straight from Scripture. And it's not just in that area, but in other areas as well, whether it's church management or pastoral care or missions. There can be ideas and principles and approaches that maybe they do have a biblical foundation, maybe they don't. And how do you apply a biblical framework to your life and to the things you do? What about if you're a businessman or a businesswoman, you've been trained in management? How much does the Bible inform your understanding of management? How do you critique the law if you're a lawyer in the light of what the Bible has to teach you? How do we integrate our faith and the foundations of the Scriptures with our daily lives? So when you're being trained for ministry as a pastor, you're trained to do what's called theological reflection, which is to take just about any issue that you might have faced and to think biblically, theologically, what does the tradition of the church say about that? How do we integrate that into our lives? How can we responsibly and wisely apply scripture to our daily lives? And so one concept that's been very influential in deliverance and inner healing ministries, whose real focus is to bring people into freedom, one concept is that of a soul tie, and that's our theme for today, soul ties. And I must admit, when I first encountered this idea, I heard people speaking about cutting soul ties, and I wondered, what is a soul tie? I had read the Bible, I never actually read it anywhere in the Bible, this soul tie word. And I'd never seen a soul tie. I wasn't getting up in the morning and wondering, oh, my soul tie is pulling me back into bed, I have to cut it. Although my mother might have tried to do that when I was a bit younger, when I was still in bed, I'm not sure. And when I read the Bible, I just don't see Jesus saying to people, oh, you've got a soul tie, you have to cut that, you know. Jesus didn't say that. But actually, I found over time that soul ties are actually quite an important concept, and they're a biblical concept, but it took me a while to make sense of it. I'm by nature fairly skeptical, which is probably not a bad thing in a minister, and I really want to understand things properly and to make sense of them. And so here is the best explanation I can give of this concept. A soul tie is a connection between one person and another person, which can be a channel for spiritual influence. So it's a spiritual connection that has a social, psychological, emotional sort of standing as well. The Canadian writer and specialist doctor and trainer, Dr. Grant Mullen, compared a soul tie to a tube which stretches from one person's soul to another. And along that tube, all sorts of stuff can travel, like a kind of umbilical cord, but joining two people, one of which is not in the womb of the other. The Iranians have a proverb, you know, when you feel a real close connection with somebody, it says, there's a pipe from my heart to your heart. So your feelings become my feelings, your tears, my tears, your joy, my joy. Our hearts are joined together. And the thing is about soul ties, they can be good, but ungodly soul ties can be a channel for all sorts of unrighteous stuff that's not helpful from one person to another. They can be established in a wide variety of ways between people. For example, an ungodly soul tie can be established through a sexual relationship or through a teacher-disciple relationship. So, for example, between the guru and the guru's followers, or through a pattern of emotional dependency or a pattern of abuse. These can all generate soul ties between people. And maybe you've sometimes seen people in the workplace who seem to kind of be linked together in some way that you just can't understand why there's this connection between them. It's not just emotional, there's something going on that's deeper than that. So it's true that there's no passage in the Bible which uses the expression soul tie. And is it a biblical concept? I think it is, but let me explain what I think the basis is. And also note that an idea or a word doesn't actually have to be in the Bible to be biblical. For example, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, but it is intensely biblical and based on many passages in the Bible. Likewise, the creed that we affirm in the Anglican tradition, it's not words taken from the Bible, although some phrases are, but it's a result of deep reflection on the scriptures, and it was intended to distill what the meaning of the scriptures is. So to be specific, from a biblical perspective, a soul tie is a covenant between two people, which binds them in such a way that one person's spiritual state, if you like, their baggage perhaps, influences the other person's. So of course the idea of a covenant, whether it's between God and people or between one person and another, this is entirely biblical. In fact, if you're a Christian, you'd want to have a godly soul tie with Jesus Christ, you know? That's from whom all blessings flow to us, really. To be in Christ is a source of life. So that's a biblical idea, an idea of a covenant between two people which binds them in such a way that a spiritual state of one could influence the other. Now, the reading that we just heard from AJ, the account of the creation of Eve in Genesis 2, tells us that when God created a partner for Adam, and by the way, the word helper in that passage in Genesis 2. It's quite a strong word in the Hebrew. It's a word that's used for God as the helper of Israel. It's a word that's used for allies when they go out to war. And it's often used in the Psalms to refer to help when you need God to stand by your side. So Adam needed help in the same way that people need God, perhaps. No, that's probably not quite what it says. But it is a pretty strong word anyway. Sometimes people have used that word and said, you know, the role of women is just to help men. But actually, it's much stronger than that. It's quite a powerful word. So Eve is created as this helper or ally of Adam. And when Adam comes to see Eve, he discerns that she has somehow come out from his own body. And so he recites this poem. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And then Genesis goes on to say that the relationship of marriage between a man and a woman, it says, for this reason, because of this connection, involves the joining together of two people so that they become one flesh. And that's why in English we refer to a marriage as a union. It's a biblical concept. So this describes the creation of an intimate covenant relationship, or in other words, the establishment of a deep connection, you could say a soul tie, a godly soul tie, between a man and a woman in marriage. They become one. Now, it is important to note that some covenant relationships which involve a transference of good stuff, they can be godly, being a channel for a lot of goodness. A healthy relationship between a parent and a child can be one example, and so is a healthy marriage or a godly friendship. And we need lots of godly soul ties in our churches and in society and in life. We're not just, a rock. We're not just islands on our own. We have feelings. We need to be connected together, and those connections need to be godly and constructed in a good way. But covenantal ties, soul ties, can also be ungodly and form a channel for harm. Sexual relationships in God's ordering of the spiritual world can create soul ties between people. In fact, by their very nature, they create soul ties between people. Years ago, I was called out to help in ministry with a man who was demonized and was manifest. And as we prayed for this man, whose situation was quite extreme, he was speaking in a changed voice and everything, but he began to share that he'd had a sexual relationship with a woman who was a witch. And after that, after they had that sexual relationship, he picked up some demons, and he was very clear that that is what had happened, that he'd become really oppressed after that connection. So he had established a soul tie with her through a sexual intimacy, and that there is a spiritual transfer that took place. And that connection gave a channel, the sexual connection gave a channel for influence. It wasn't that he intentionally wanted to create a spiritual soul tie, but he was intentional about having that relationship with the woman, and he got a lot more than just sex. So one of the Bible's solemn warnings about not contracting ungodly covenants or ungodly ties is found in the law of Moses, where the Israelites are told not to form sexual relationships with the Canaanites. It's very interesting in the passage, it says that they shouldn't make a treaty with them or marry them. And those two ideas of a covenantal treaty and marriage are connected. The reason that's given is that they will be drawn into the worship of Canaanite gods. That's in Exodus 34, because of these relationships. That is, their sexual relationships will create a channel of influence, which means that they will be drawn into idolatry and their exclusive faith in Yahweh will be diluted and will be lost. And in fact, that's exactly what happened in the history of Israel. And the problem with the Canaanite gods, one problem, is that they were gods of child sacrifice. And so you see that even Solomon builds a temple to a god of child sacrifice, and the kings begin to practice that as well, that some of them even sacrifice their own children. So when God says, don't get into relationships with the Canaanites, he's trying to warn them about the transfer that will happen to them that's more than just a physical sexual relationship. So that's one way that an ungodly soul tie can be established, but it's not the only way. Another way could be through an unhealthy emotional relationship. Parents can sometimes establish a hold on a child which is so powerful that it limits a child's ability to make healthy relationships with others. And this can be very tragic to see, that a child, in a way, can be taken over emotionally by a parent. And one of the challenges in being a good father, a good mother, is to raise a child who's emotionally independent. That is, loved by you, you pass on good things to them, but you teach them to have healthy boundaries, to be able to be themselves, and not just an extension of your personality. Occasionally you come across a couple that are married and there's an intense tie between one of them and a parent. You know, the wife who wonders whether her husband is really married to his mother because she lives next door and they spend an hour together every day and the relationship is just so intense that the wife feels like an add-on. And it's very interesting in Genesis 2, it says the father will leave his family home to make a new relationship. So there's advice there, I think, for how to manage some of those ties. Another situation is where someone deliberately creates emotional dependency in another person in order to use that dependency, that ungodly tie, to influence them. For example, a person might be going through a very vulnerable and needy part of their life. They're very hungry for affection. So someone else who enjoys having power or needs to feel significant in themselves by the power they have over another person, they will deliberately reach out to this needy person and love them to bits in order to make them dependent upon them. And then they will start pushing things into their lives that aren't good for them. So people can create ungodly ties to meet their own needs. And abusers almost always create strong emotional soul ties or strong soul ties so there can be a channel for their control and their influence. So there's lots of different ways these can arise, and it actually can be quite surprising how these can affect us. There's some practices, say martial arts, which include a process of becoming tied to the trainer or the leader as well. And that's something to think about quite carefully. If you're ever in a church where it seems like there's an unhealthy kind of codependence between the pastor and the congregation, just be aware that that's a possibility. And you want to think, you know, what is a healthy pastoral relationship or an unhealthy one? So people can enter into covenantal relationships which have a spiritual transfer, intentionally or unintentionally. They can enter the relationship intentionally but not intend to have the deep soul tie effect that it has. Or maybe it might happen quite unintentionally because they get groomed, which is really a process of establishing a kind of a tie. So I really want to emphasize that godly ties are good. And part of living free as a Christian is to know how to establish and maintain godly ties without them being corrupted or being used for ungodly purposes. So just to meet your own emotional needs, you create ties with other people. That's not a good thing to do. So Satan also, he likes to take what's good that's been created by God, the idea of a covenant relationship, he likes to take that and to use it for harm, for his destructive purposes. So what can we do about ungodly soul ties? Well, by now, in this series of sermons, if you've been listening week by week or picking up the ones on the podcast that you've missed on Sundays, the answer should be clear. We have authority through Jesus Christ to break ungodly ties and to be set free of them. As the scripture says, the blood of Jesus speaks a truer word than the blood of Abel. And if Jesus' blood can speak a truer word than blood shed in one brother killing another, then he can speak a truer word about all the other stuff as well. And it does too. But, you know, the principle of specificity, which I spoke about, means that we need to apply that freedom that we have, the authority that we have, to our relationships. And it's very normal when we're praying with someone who's gone through a particular trauma or is being set free from a demonic issue or is needing healing and restoration, that as part of that process of being restored, of being set free, there is a component of breaking ungodly ties and just shutting those down so that channel of influence is no longer open. I would encourage a couple before they get married, if they've had sexual relationships with others before they get married, to cut those ties, those soul ties. Occasionally you see people who are married, maybe they've come to faith in Christ, and previously they lived a life where they had lots of relationships, and sometimes when they're together it's like there's too many people in the bed because of the memories that come from the past. And that's quite an important process to separate those ties. And also There's part of the process is asking the Lord to heal the soul, to actually remove the memory. People speak about memory as wet concrete that hardens, but I think it's more like clay that dries out. But it can be wet and it can be healed. God can restore memories and make them not so kind of pressing and controlling upon us. So we can renounce and break ungodly ties, and there's a time for doing that. I want to say, last week I spoke about what happens if you make a careless oath, you make a careless promise, and I've actually put a little prayer on the back table about how to deal with that. So if you need that, please pick that up. And we're going to go through a prayer in a moment, cutting ungodly soul ties, and there's also a copy of that on the back table. If we run out, let me know, I'll have some more for next week. I'd like to just step you through the prayer so that you can understand the principles that are involved. And these are principles that we're applying in lots of different contexts throughout this series. And also, as we do this, I'd just like to ask the Holy Spirit to be speaking to us. Maybe there's a soul tie that you've had that's influenced your life, and you'd like to just ask the Lord to be cut off, that it wouldn't affect you anymore. Maybe there's a sense of too great a responsibility you have for somebody else because of this tie. Or some harm that just doesn't go away. Some sort of trauma which you can't seem to get rid of. And maybe that's because there's a tie there that needs to be broken. A covenantal spiritual reality that needs to be separated. Because really, when we come under the covenant of the blood of Christ, all the ungodly covenants should be set aside. They should be broken off us. One of the things that we do in leading Muslims to Christ, because Islam is built on the principle of the example of Muhammad, that everyone should follow the example of Muhammad. In coming to Christ, we encourage people to break soul ties with the example of Muhammad and his character. Probably for the Shia, they should break soul ties with Imam Hussein and other martyrs, for which it's common in mosques to be weeping as an act of worship because of their martyrdom more than 1,000 years ago. And those emotional burdens, they should be cut off as well. People should be set free from that huge burden of grief that gets passed on from one generation to another. So just a few examples. We've found that to be very powerful and important in setting people free so they can really be connected to Christ at a heart level and don't have to carry the burden of those other ties, those spiritual ties. Sometimes if people have been involved in the occult or in witchcraft, it's important to cut ties with people that have been influential in their lives as well. So I'm just going to take you through this prayer and explain what it means, and then I'll invite us to pray, and I'll be asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what person, what relationship you'd like to deal with. So first of all, we declare our submission to God through Christ, and confess our sin. I mean, confession and forgiveness are key tools in these processes. And also forgive the person that you have had a tie to, and forgive them for what they've done to establish that tie, and ask the Lord to forgive ourselves for anything that we did that allowed that tie to be established, and that we receive that forgiveness and cleansing. And then we choose to forgive ourselves for that. I've known some people who've been in an emotionally dependent relationship where they've been controlled, and sometimes they can hate themselves for being so weak and so bound up in that and unable to be free from it. So that sort of self-rejection can be a way in which that tie is maintained. So forgiving yourself for that is important as well, as part of the process of actually being set free, and a choice not to be angry at yourself. And then a prayer to break the tie and release yourself from it. And also just to separate them, Lord, let this other person be the person they need to be, and that you'll be the person you need to be, and without being joined together in any way. And there's also asking the Lord to sort of take away the imprint from your memory of ungodly connections, including sexual connections, so that you're free to give yourself to God and also to your spouse, if that's appropriate, and renounce and cancel all assignments of evil spirits that have used those soul ties as an opportunity to disrupt your life. And then declare thanksgiving for the Lord, and declare your choice to walk in the holiness of the Lord God in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's a prayer, and as I said, there's a copy of that on the back table. This prayer is taken from a ministry format called Restoring the Foundations. So I'd like to just ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be speaking to us now and you'd reveal to each one of us if there's any tie or any area of our life we'd like to be set free from an ungodly soul tie, in Jesus' name. If we could please stand and we'll pray through this prayer and then we'll continue on in worship. If you need some follow-up, you'd like some further ministry, please just let us know. Something might be stirred up that's bigger perhaps than just this moment, but we're praying that God will deal with it now here. So let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit myself completely to you. I confess all of my emotional and sexual sins, as well as my ungodly soul ties. I choose to forgive each person with whom I have an ungodly soul tie. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my sin that resulted in ungodly soul ties. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me and for cleansing me. I choose to forgive myself for this involvement. I will no longer be angry at myself, hate myself, or punish myself. Lord, I break any ungodly soul ties with you. Just say the name to the Lord under your breath, or the Lord knows. If you were praying with someone just privately, you'd say it out loud. And we keep going. I release myself from this person, and I release this person from me. As I do this, Lord, I pray that you would cause this person to be all you want them to be, and that you would cause me to be all that you want me to be. Lord, please cleanse my mind from all memories of ungodly unions so that I am totally free to give myself to you and to my spouse. I renounce and cancel the assignments of all evil spirits attempting to maintain these ungodly soul ties. Lord, thank you for restoring my soul to wholeness. I choose to walk in holiness by your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just bring before your heavenly courts this transaction that we have conducted today. And I ask that you would rule against these ungodly ties and they would indeed be broken in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for healing of memories, of associations and connections, that they would be dealt with today. They would no longer rise up to disrupt or confuse or hurt us, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us as a community of faith to have healthy boundaries between each other and also godly ties, that you'd give us the wisdom to foster godly relationships that would build us up and build others up to your glory. And may we all be deeply connected to Jesus, from whom all life comes. In him we live, and he is our grace, he's our joy, he's our healing, he's our hope. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit which is poured into our hearts, for the love of God that fills us to overflowing. And Lord, I pray as we worship that you would release an overpouring and outpouring of the love of Christ, of the love of God, Lord, and particularly places within us where we've felt bound by this issue of an ungodly covenant. I pray, Lord, that you'd minister healing and grace, that you would restore, that you would relieve, that you'd bring rest and refreshment to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus
died and died for me.
I see his wounds